Father Houston's well, Father Houston's on the road. We are on the road. We're here at the BWU Stadium on the Jimmy Whelan Concourse, of all places.
That's the old concourse it is, and we're here because, for that reason being, the fact that we did take on Witness Vikings, but we've got plenty to talk about before we have a chat about that game anyway. Two rounds of the Super League, one round of the Super League and the Challenge Cup, and two rounds of the Championship all to talk about, but before we do that, let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. In the good, Sir Kevin Sinfield and legend Kyle Coslett being honoured with the MBEs by the Queen.
Very well deserved as well. I mean, you know my feelings about Kevin Sinfield. The Leeds fans call him Sir Kevin. There's a reason why they do that. He's been top of the tree there at Headingley for, I'm sure it was Headingley built around him. He seems like he's been there that long now. But no, in all seriousness, he's been a fine ambassador for the sport of rugby league. Continues to be so. And, you know, what a player still.
How Coslett, a legend from the Valleys.
Immense. He had a great career, didn't he? Played for St. Helens, kicked all those goals, scored all those points, but it's not just his point scoring that he was famous for, it was just his general all-round play, and the fact that he's a gentleman as well, again, very well deserved. And isn't it interesting that rugby league produces these characters that end up going on and getting these honours?
Sure, he's from the Valleys from Wales, or is it from the Hills of Lancashire?
Now you're asking me, I should know my rugby league history a bit more. Maybe somebody could tweet us and let us know. You know, we're available on Twitter at the Final Hooter. Go on, give us a shot. Let us know. Put out that imagery.
So legend anyway. Let's not forget as well, Rugby League World Cup manager Sally Bowie. She also back in OBEs herself.
Very deserved as well. I mean, she's been working quietly behind the scenes, hasn't she, for a number of years and been rewarded with a really good job offer away from the sport of rugby league. So maybe it just shows how much work that she did in bringing the World Cup to these shores. A very successful tournament where we believe made about $3.8 million for the sport.
We know the Queen gives out these OBEs and MBEs. I don't know what she makes in rugby league.
I think she'd enjoy it. But, Kevin, just show us how you pass that ball again, would you, sir?
Next on the good list, two fights in 1 week, both involving Lee Centurions. Now, the RFL might not like it, but we, the fans, love it. Let's have more brawls, please.
Well, I don't know about more brawls, to be honest, but I think that the rugby league does need to clamp down on the amount of foul behaviour. Yeah, they do. They need to sort it out. But in both of those efforts, Lee were actually transgressed against first, weren't they? So, you know, you can't blame them for going in defending themselves. Or is that just me as a Leather defending my players?
Jamie Peacock certainly shown how to throw a punch.
Yeah, Jamie Peacock. What was the BBC calling him? The Carl Froch of Rugby League afterwards. Not that I'm too keen on that. I mean, you know, if we were led to believe all the Leeds press that was, you know, about this particular incident, the lead player in question who dared to stand up to, Mr. Peacock should be home, drawn and quartered. You know, now what will that fare? And, you know, the incident was a bit of a nothing incident in the end. And, yeah, players get carried away on the field, don't they, at times?
Right, the bad. The sacking of Flash is coming to make the headlines within Rugby League by Bradford Bulls. All I can say to the members of the board of the Bulls, hang your heads in shame, you should be back, not sacked.
I agree with you for once here, Adrian. I think it's ridiculous, you know, because I mean, he's been working his socks off all the way through the season. He's had no money to spend. He doesn't know whether he's got a squad from one game to the next.
I've got more money in my pocket than what he's had to spend this season.
Well, that's easy for you to say. You know I minted you, I have to be honest, but, you know, yes, I do think it's really, really bad, and, you know, clubs just shouldn't do this. And you've got to feel for Matt Diskin, because he's been the man left holding the baby, hasn't he, after the bathwater's gone. You know, he's going to be in charge until they make a permanent appointment, and he didn't want to be in that position. He's already spoken vocally on social media about it. You know, I'm backing Matt Diskin as well. I think that, you know, it's a terrible situation all round, and they've cut off a very promising coaching career just before it got started.
And it runners and rises will be interested in the job. Jimmy Lowe's or Brian Noble, the front runners.
Yeah, I mean, those are the two. I noticed Jimmy Lowe is actually saying that he's available already. I believe that Paul Medley as well, who played some time for Bradford, he's also chucked his hat into the ring. And it's interesting that all these maybe old players from another generation of Bradford all wanting to get back and be the one to raise the Bulls back to the best.
Now, we've already mentioned it in the recent final news about the Challenge Cup attendances, but it's in the bad again, unfortunately, David. The attendances for the recent quarterfinals, one word describes them, dreadful. 40 games and just over 20,000 watched them. Come on, Rugby League fans. or the only knockout tournament we've got, or we might even lose it.
To be fair, I mean, the witness crowd was a decent one. They put a good offer on, together with Keith Lee, you know, to get to over 5,000. I know that would have been a game that I suppose any other night of the week, any other time, any other deal, would probably have only got about 2,500, 3,000. So, you know, well done. Maybe this is what we need to do. We need to get, you know, these efforts going on and, you know, get these things. But I mean, it is disappointing. When you look at Leeds, he's been averaging more, 13,000 in Super League. They got 7,000 at home to Lee. Wigan, obviously, we're here at the DW Stadium. I reckon we're going to see a lot more here than 8,700, as was in the televised game. And Bradford, well, we all know that they're going through the hell of it at the moment, aren't they? So it's no wonder that their crowds have dropped off.
Inevitably, there's only one thing really. The tackle by game manager for Halifax on San Paolo during the recently in Halifax game. For me, that was the worst tackle I've seen in over 20 years. But it was also the best brawl I've seen in donkey's years.
It was a hell of a tackle, wasn't it? Yeah, you're right. He sort of dived on. It was late. It was high. It knocked San Paolo out. Later, he had to be taken to hospital where they had a trauma unit waiting. And although, thankfully, you know, as far as Sam's concerned, he's made a recovery and was allowed to leave hospital the day after a night in observation. Dreadful play. And the fact that Pete Manning, not only did he do that, but once it had all settled down from the first brawl, he went and kick-started the second one as well. You know, is he going to take up boxing? I mean, I think, you know, he's called rugby league, not rugby league.
Maybe he should go head-to-head with Jamie Peacock, see who wins that outcome.
That would be interesting. In fact, maybe the two of them could get together for, you know, maybe a charity boxing match later on in the season. Maybe they could raise it for one of rugby league's charities.
Okay, Manning gets a second shot in the ugly section. Due to the fact he got a 10-match ban and he popped three actions. I'm not defending what he got. He totally deserves his 10-match ban, by the way, but it's still an ugly ban to receive.
It's an ugly ban to receive. A deserved ban. Some would argue that he should have got more. He was up for a potential total banning of 13 matches. So they haven't given him the full tariff that they could have given him. But, yeah, it's going to be a long while until the Halifax see Dame Manning in one of their shirts again. But he could turn that round into a good because they'll be back for the playoffs.
Good news for Carl Harrison then.
If he's still there at the time, you never know with the way the rugby league goes with that. I mean, I'm hoping that he is personally, and I think that, you know, that particular game that we talked about, we've just gone on about the negative side of it, even though you love the brawl. But it was one of the most interesting championship matches that I think there's been all season, probably for the last 2 or 3 years. It had a bit of everything, didn't it? You know, there was good skill, big defence. The two brawls, like you mentioned, head-eye tackle and some cracking tries, and also one or two strange tries that you won't probably ever see much in rugby for another 10 years.
Before we talk about this championship, let's talk about the Challenge Cup. Our road to Wembley reached the quarter-final stages, David, and we made our way over to Headley, and this is what happened when me and you sat in front of the famous Headley cricket ground and talked about the action that happened. David, our road to Wembley reaches the quarter-final stages. We're here overlooking the Headley cricket pitch. Before we talk about the game that we've just witnessed, great setting here at Headley for a game of cricket. Could be even better for rugby league.
Oh, it's a cracking venue, isn't it? We're hearing about this venue being upgraded as well, aren't we? So Leeds have been planning to renovate this stand, which we're sitting in at the moment. And once it's completed, this is going to be a huge sporting arena.
Our team coming into the quarterfinals with Lee Centurions to take on Leeds Rhinos. And I suppose the action that we just witnessed befitted the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup.
It did. I mean, unfortunately, we were also witness to what happened between Keith Lee and witness as well, weren't they? Where witness were able to score plenty of points. And, you know, Keith Lee didn't. Well, they only got that one try, didn't they? But, yeah, we saw a completely different encounter this evening here at Headingley. And what a game it was. The Centurion is probably on a quarter of the salary cap that Leeds Rhinos have. Really putting up a good fight and narrowly being defeated. In fact, it took two tries in the last 5 minutes and a Kevin Sinfield drop goal to spur the blushes of Leeds.
Tremendous effort, wasn't it? Everyone was expecting Leeds to win our esteem after maybe an hour, but it just never happened.
No, it didn't. I think that's perhaps symptomatic of the way that Paul Rowley has geared his side up for this season. Prior to the year, they actually had an army camp where they were put through a lot of things mentally, and I think that has just prepared them perfectly for the season. So when you come into a venue like this, it's not so bad, even though some Super League clubs don't like coming here, do they?
Nice venue, and they have some nice posh pies that I had to sample before the game kicked off.
I spotted you there with your pastry addiction. You were feeding it, weren't you? So, yeah, again, you know, the pies on this road to Wembley, they're all gone, aren't they?
Well, these ones were a nice juicy meat pie.
Did you get any of the mushy peas with them as well, though? Because they were going together.
There's some probably Yorkshire mushy peas there as well.
I tell you what, we really do enjoy our rugby league, don't we? And where our road to Wembley takes us.
Yeah, League Championship favourites, Leeds Rhinos, who march into the semi-finals. I'm going to hear from the winning coach, Brian McDermott. Brian McDermott, Leeds Rhinos in the semi-final. Will they really need to work hard for that position?
Absolutely. Yes, that was a huge performance from Lee. I mean, you know, I'll tell you right early on, I didn't think we were really, really bad. I'm not going to tell you that the reason it was a contest is because Leeds were poor. I thought Leeds were really, really good, and defended really good, and that's why it was a contest for us.
Brought a couple of youngsters in for yourself, and they seemed to stand up to the challenge.
Yeah, we did. Leeds were quick. We all know about Steve Ward there starting, and Robbie Ward had to score a try at the end, which broke it for us. And Josh Walters, who's a rugby union convert from our sister club, which he's been playing rugby now for a little while. And he came off the bench and gave us a lift. He's kind of the world's strong. The cage is like tonight, and you know, the so-called underdog really does perform and scare life out of the Super League team, which they did tonight. You know, that's what Challenge Cup can deliver. You know, it's a way we find ourselves very fortunate. We feel very fortunate to be through to the next round. But we also showed enough grit and determination. I think we deserve the win in the end. Credit to Lee, you know, I can't say enough about Lee and the staff. They came with a strategy and a way of playing tonight, and it worked for them.
What was the difference between yourselves and Lee tonight?
I thought there was just a couple of exchanges later in the game where Lee, you know, started to drop off. I'm hesitant to say they dropped off too much because they didn't. But near our try line, we defended. And sometimes it looks very simple what you do, but it's a big thing. Put it into context of that game. But being able to stay in position and get back on side and be in position when Lee have got some big threats in their team, some very talented players. I thought the way we defended our line around the back end there is probably the best of the game.
What a great night out we had at the Headley.
Oh, it was a cracking night, wasn't it? We even got to meet Gary Etherington's mum, which was rather interesting, and she was telling all kinds of tales. She was really nice. She was telling us all the stories about when Gary tried to set up rugby league in Sheffield, and that nobody believed it was possible. Sheffield Eagles are still going, and that's testament to Gary Etherington's work, and he's done a similar good job with Leeds. But that aside, it was a cracking game, and Leeds were giving the fright of their lives, weren't they?
Fair play to Leeds, ensuring they never give up during those full 80 minutes.
No, and you think that had that ball not come out at the time that it did from Penkovic, we're going to be talking about Leeds into the semi-finals, and what a tale that would have been for rugby league.
So, okay, then Leeds ensuring lost their 100% record at the hands of Leeds. I know it's not that poor role, it would have been disappointing, but joining Leeds in the semi-finals of the Champions Cup, we saw Warrington beat Bradford Bulls 4-6-10, witnessed some of the other championship contender by defeating Keithley Coolidge 56-6, and the surprise result of the quarterfinals is the fact that Wigan Warriors lost out to Castle Tigers on their own patch, shared the DW 16-4. Before we talk about it, let's hear from the winning coaches from those other three sides. Expect a mission for the Vikings to reach the semis. You've achieved that. Are you more than happy with what you saw from it?
It's always getting the semi-finals. You could be kidded a little bit by the opposition and what they most expected of you. Non-win situation tonight. Should we win by 80? Should we win by 100? Should we win by 10? It's like we're in the semi-final. It's a couple of we're happy with that. We know we've got a long time now to keep working hard and get better before the game, before the semi.
The coaching point of view, what was the pleasing aspect of the performance?
Some of our young lads just really stood up and it's got some very good tries, and they say I'd like to get them to mill, but the one try they got was a decent work try for them, and we restricted their field position, worked out a magic kick race.
Some of the youngsters who used a stand-up performer for yourself,
well, Kevin in the first half again gave around, really controlled the team. We've got Alex Taylor played pretty particularly well in the first half, ran some really good lines, and Lloyd White was good at dummy half, and Tom Gilmore's just getting better every week, so yeah, it's really happy with a few fit people there.
The approach now is a tricky place to come towards, as we all know from the league, so you must be pleased to come through that clutch challenge, though.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good performance, and I was going to take a good performance to get the result we needed today. And the guys really turned up, particularly in the second half. They were really, really good. They showed a lot of composure and a lot of control there to get a good result. So, boys can be very proud of themselves.
So, you know, it's a lot quicker play the ball, so I think it's like Bradford on the back foot.
Yeah, we played very well on the front foot, as people know, but we took advantage of some of those opportunities that presented themselves. Look, the boys worked hard to get those opportunities, and they rolled their sleeves up in the middle, and the flash blokes on the edges, they get the chances, and I thought that's what happened today.
How would you stress those things? Because he seems to lead from the front by example.
Yeah, and has been doing so for a while. He's developed into one of the very, very elite prop forwards in the game, and he did that again today. He's a fantastic athlete for a bloke of his size, and an extremely skillful rugby league player. And, he can do almost anything in the game. And today he found some holes and he reads the game very well and put himself in some good spots to really expose some of the holes that were there, and he did a good job.
It was a half time, so what was the thoughts during that pilot period?
Yeah, just about staying in the game and staying in control of what we're doing ourselves. And, we didn't have to deviate too much from what we were doing, just do it with a little bit more control and a bit more patience, if you like. And, I thought that played off and paid dividends for us.
Yeah, I was super impressed, to be honest, to that. What an effort from everybody concerned. Thought we were outstanding in the first half with the ball, and we were outstanding in the second half without it. Just a huge effort, and defensively we hung in there when we looked like we were going to creak and crack a little bit. But the boys were having none of it, and like I say, just superb effort from 1 to 17.
Second half, you were on the ropes numerous times in that opening 20 minutes, but you might have set a few standing counts, but they refused to go down, didn't they?
Yeah, we just kept getting up. We weren't throwing the towel in, we just hung in there, and I think that's a real sort of recognition that we're a genuine team, and we're not going to be beaten easily. You're going to have to come up with something pretty good to knock us over this year. We were on our line a hell of a lot. We didn't play particularly well in the second half, but we did carve out some opportunities when we got in good field position. And I think that's a testimony to the players and the attacking game that we've got. We can score points. We can get over the line. There's no doubt about that. Today we showed a different side to us, and being able to hold tough like that was an exceptional effort.
Scoring a one try, having an intercept on his own 20-metre line, going the length of the field. You don't see that very often from fullbacks, and Bowen just showing his experience is counting here for the DW Stadium.
It's probably ruined everybody's pen slip, is the fact that Huddersfield so off the challenge of the lead drivers at Headley.
To be honest, that didn't surprise me, because Huddersfield came at it with a bit of a combined effort to how Lee had played against Leeds the week before, and how Warrington had gone the week before that, you know, where they just tried to speed play up. They dragged him around the field, sent the big men hurtling down the middle to tire out their old folks, and they got over them in the end. And although I have to say that that play right at the death involving Leeds, which Briscoe almost scored, it was sent up to the video referee, it was almost like a white to west moment, wasn't it? It was kicks, there was passes, there was one that looked like an American football pass, there was another kick into the corner. Briscoe went toe-to-toe with his opposite number trying to chase the ball down, and it was all just ruled out, unfortunately. But it was a good game, that, and you know, the right result in the end, I think, as far as Rosefield are concerned. And they're starting to put some results together, aren't they? And they're thereabouts within that top eight at the minute.
Another cracking game, but one that really does condemn London Broncos to life in the lower tier of Rugby League in the UK. It's an 18-10 defeat at the hands of Wakefield.
Yeah, you mentioned the good, the bad and the ugly. I think this would sit in my ugly, to be honest, because everything that I've read about this game suggests that it was just dullness personified. You know, the fact that it was just knock on, scrum, knock on, oh, there's an occasional set of six here and a bit of open play. Sometimes you've got to take the you've got to take the conditions out of the equation and just concentrate on playing your rugby. It appears that neither of those sides was able to really do that until the closing stages, when Wakefield finally nudged themselves in front, and you can say they got a deserved victory, I suppose.
Now, Hull FC, they travelled over to the Holton Stadium to get revenge for that 7-0 defeat, and 56-6, suggesting Ellen truly did get revenge.
Yeah, I'm still questioning, as I'm sure Dennis Betts is, what actually happened that second half, a witness, because everything was all pointing to a very competitive game, wasn't it? Paddy Flynn opened the scoring after about 5 or 6 minutes, got over the top of Callum Lancaster. Next, it was the Lancaster show, wasn't it? He comes up with a hat-trick, does the kid. Jamie Shaw, who I've spoken about quite fervently over the course of the season, he also crossed for a hat-trick, and I just get the feeling that, you know, Hull played some excellent rugby in the last 20 minutes, but I've got a question. Where was that witness defence? Did they just knock off? Did they just decide, right, we've had enough, we've completed a night shift and we've gone home early? I don't know, I hope it's going to be much better.
Yeah, so the pack for Hull FC led the way and really won the battleground at the Hull FC. And one worrier for the Black and Whites for Hull FC is Gareth Ellis, and I caught up with him after that game. So how pleasing was that for the Black and Whites at Hull?
Yeah, really pleasing. Obviously, it's been a tough period for us. You know, we've got a good win a couple of weeks ago against London. Went to the second half of the season, what we really wanted to come, you know, well, we did that tonight, and then we certainly took a big step forward, but it is just a step, you know, carry it too carried away. We need to keep winning.
Same as about keep winning, you kept on scoring as well.
Yeah, it was nice to, obviously to get come here, you know, when we've been playing some good rugby and playing really well, and to win by that score, like, I'm really pleased, and obviously it's been, like I said before, we've been on the back of some really tough losses, some real narrow defeats, and obviously to score, you know, 56, 58 points tonight, it's really, really pleasing, and just reward for our hard work in training.
So the foundations to that, the performance was tonight?
Well, the forwards really, the middles, they really took it to witness, particularly in defence. I thought, you know, early on we really, really got stuck into to witness, and made it really difficult for them, and took a lot of energy out of them. It just laid that platform really for our forwards to really, you know, power over them, and then they obviously got the speedsters on the end there, Jamie Shaw, Carl Manquist, and they're both coming out with a hat-trick tonight, so they jump on the end of things, and that, we just got a lot of hat tries from deep really, and that was the probably the story of the night.
Just mentioned the forwards, but like the foundation, how did you feel your time on the pitch, Mark?
Yeah, good. I'm pretty happy really with how I'm playing, and I've really enjoyed my rugby again. You know, it was a difficult couple of years really with injuries, and finally, you know, back on my feet and feeling as good as I've ever felt really, and I go back 12 months and I'm sort of thinking about being engineer, and you know, 12 months on, I'm totally opposite, and I feel like I'm lucky, but I don't know when the end's coming. I feel good, and I feel like I'm contributing, and still searching for that perfect game, you know, the year you never quite get, but you keep working hard for, and I'm enjoying it up at the minute.
So the top eight, how much of a big win is this week?
Yeah, we need to get a win in the next sort of few games as well. They're really important for us. We've sort of drifted out a little bit, but we're not within touching distance of that top eight. But obviously, it's all about winning us in this year, and we're not coming over the 2 points, and that's why we sit where we are in the league, and sometimes it's about just getting the 2 points and winning.
So please tell me why you'd be more than happy to have Hawkins and Rovers last night as well.
Yeah, we just concentrate on ourselves, you know. Obviously, it's obviously a fierce rivalry that the fans have got, but you know, we're in a position that we're in, and we need to work hard, and let's just keep doing what we're doing, and like I said, just keep winning. You know, need to keep picking up 2 points. I think probably on that level with them now on points. So yeah, it's really tight around that area. There's a few teams sort of scrapping for that top eight, and it's a good thing. It's about it drives as well. We want to obviously get away from that bottom middle section as well, because there's some people snapping our heels as well.
Really happy with his form at the minute. He's been heavily criticised, hasn't he? Not really made the big impact his big signing is expected to make.
I'm going to be honest here, and you were going to put me on the spot anyway. I get the feeling, AJ, but I was one of those people that's criticised him because I don't feel he's lived up to the full billing. But he did play a very big part in that game of dismantling Widnes, as it was. But on the quiet side of things, I think Joel Westerman is really starting to play some good rugby now. He's another player that has received a lot of criticism. Had a lot of success early on in his career, didn't he, when he was still a teenager with Castleford. Moved over to Hull, everybody thought it would be the move that would catapult him into international selection. It's never really worked out for him, unfortunately, but I tell you what, if he starts putting form like that together, where he pops up as a halfback in some situations, he does the rough, tough stuff, a bit like Sean O'Loughlin does for Wigan, to be honest. You know, he's going places, and I think it's all about Hull trying to find consistency now over the next few weeks, because you look at the league placings, you're looking at them just sort of nudged in behind the top eight. They've only won 6 games, haven't they, or 7 games all season. So, you know, that's not a good return, to be honest, with the amount of money that they're spending.
Now, ahead of the Wigan Warriors and Castleford game, it was announced that Blake Green was deciding he's going to end his time here in the UK and return back home. And our man Steve Manning caught up with him to find out the reason why he wants to go back home.
After 4 years in the UK, two of which you spent here at Wigan, you've taken the decision to move back to Australia this season. Yeah, and so it was a difficult decision for me to make. I've had a great time here. Me and my family, we've both thoroughly enjoyed ourselves, especially here at Wigan. I've been a part of the winning team. And I've made some really good friends here that I'll keep in touch with forever. Some pretty special moments and memories to hold on to as well. So, yeah, difficult decision, but I love this one to make. I guess when you first moved to Hull in 2010, you perhaps had a timeline in mind that you're going to spend playing over here in England. Is that about right? Yeah, once I didn't have an exact timeline in mind, but you know, I had a goal to come over here and establish myself as a number six. And, great grounding in the game, and what a hell of a lot, and I'm going to get ready to go back and do that.
Wigan were hoping to Rovers as well. It's going to be badly missed by Super League.
He's been very good value, hasn't he, since he's been over here? What is it, 3, 4, 5 years now? And again, he's sort of really done well for himself, his family, everybody knows about him now. And obviously, he's done well enough because he's been able to get a club back home to snap him up. And, you know, fair play to him. He's been honest, he's been open with Wigan. Wigan's been good with it all as well. They haven't tried to hold him back like sometimes happens at other clubs with other players. And, you know, he's been good for Super League, and I wish Mike Green all the best.
Might be back along with Michael Dobson before you know it.
Well, you never know. And isn't that an interesting way for Salford to announce that Michael Dobson is joining them? It's Marwan Kukash, loves his social media. They're on Twitter. He put something on earlier in the week saying about whether it was a good idea for club owners to tweet the news of the club direct. And I think he got a favourable response, so he sort of shared the signing of Michael Dobson before anybody else got it.
Yeah, Michael Dobson is great for Super League, just not quite good enough to get an RL, is it? Because he was playing for in that Queensland Cup where it'd be all he keep hearing a lot about.
Yeah, he said it's been unfortunate really for Michael Dobson because, like you say, he seems perfect for the game over here now. I don't know why he's not been able to translate that same sort of form onto the NRL stage. Sometimes some players, it just doesn't work for them. Players have to move clubs, players have to move continents even, you know, to get the exposure that they deserve. But I'll tell you what, a Super League with Michael Dobson in it, a Salford side with Michael Dobson in it, look out next season.
It's not a championship, shall we? And we reached round 14 and round 15 in recent weeks. Some interesting results in round 14. Barrow Raiders losing out to Doncaster. And then Bobby Gilden, well, he'd be kicking his ears on the fact that he's copying the two-match ban. Or so we think.
Well, that's not doing the most yet, what he's doing. So, it could be up to 8 matches, to be honest, for Bobby, because he got sent off for talking back, shall we say, to the referee after the match had finished. Some great results, actually, from around the championship. It's all started to warm up. Swinton seem to have run into a bit of form recently. I mean, they cast aside North Wales Crusaders in round 14 by 42 points to 24. And interesting to note there that the Warrington contingent that just keeps seemingly getting bigger, he's really serving them out at the moment. I noticed the wire on the score sheet for them. And, you know, them playing some good stuff. O'Brien also in the goal kicking stakes too.
Tough game over at Sheffield. They're working to really make the Eagles work for those 3 points.
I think any team that comes up against Workington this season has to work so, so hard to get the points. I mean, you look at the bonus point tally, and in fact, you know, just having a quick glance, I know the fourth bottom of the league at the moment, but they've won 9 bonus points. They've lost 11 games, but won 9 bonus points, which suggests they're not that far off. And when they do fall behind, they fight back, and they really stick it to their opposition. I think that, Phil Vieiras is just a couple of wins away from going on a run there and you know, dragging Workington clear. Although we'd like to put a pound on it to be fair, Adrian.
Andy Kane hat-trick ensured that Featherstone Rovers under Andy Hay got themselves a win, and Andy Hay will enjoy that first victory as a head coach.
Well, he's been there a few weeks now, actually, so, Featherstone's form has took an upturn over that period of time. But I just can't believe that club because they just seem to be wanting to pile heaps and heaps of pressure. And Andy Hayes just gone in there, and fair play to Hayes, keeping a hat on everything there at the minute. They have brought a whole different set of players. It's a risky strategy that Featherstone are using at the moment because they're bringing in players mid-season and some of them in key positions. I noticed just recently they've signed Harry Seeker on loan for the rest of the season for Wakefield, you know, which is a good signing for the Championship. And actually very interesting to note, because he played for the Australian Schoolboys 2010. It was a series that I covered, and at the time I tipped both halfbacks, Harry Seeker for Australia and Gareth O'Brien for Great Britain. I tipped him for much better things, so what that just tells you, what do I know about rugby league? They're both knocking around at the Championship level. That's not to take anything away from either of them, because I think that their time will come. But it hasn't happened yet for him.
But Harry Seacombe there for a minute.
Harry Seacombe, oh, there you go. He could belt out a tune or two, couldn't he?
There you go, anyway. In round 15, big result for North Wales Crusaders to see off the challenge at Whitehaven.
Yeah, and interesting news coming from North Wales Crusaders in the fact that Clive Griffiths is moving upstairs. He's going to accept a role in the boardroom, the director of rugby. And it means that Anthony Murray, who started the season as a head coach up at Barrow, left after about 3 or 4 games, he's accepted the job of becoming head coach of the Crusaders for the rest of the season. And, you know, best of luck to them as well. They played some really good
away to Manchester Derby, a Swindon Lions, you saw off Rochdale Hall.
And the other pleasing thing for me, seeing Mick Manning back out there, always great to see Big Mick out on the field. I know that I chatted to him at some length a few weeks ago and he was hoping to get back out there. Good to see him do that. And also, I think the interesting result in this particular round was Preston Rovers being held to a 22-all draw by Doncaster, who apparently scored the very last move of the game. You can't get much closer than that, can you, for a share of the points?
Much closer than Gloucestershire all goes versus York City Knights in round 12, the Championship won, and what a result, 24-22 to the all goals.
Playing some great stuff at the moment, he's gone in there as Steve McCormack, really turned him around. It's a lot of hard work that he's injected into that side, and we signed a couple of players there as well on loan, which really seem to be helping the development of other players around them. I think that they could be in with a shout for getting in that top four and a possible playoff position.
Shocks in round 12, wasn't there? I mean, we've seen Oldham lose that to Hemel Stags, South Wales Scorpions, who've been the whipping boys this season, coming up heavy wins against London Scorers.
Yeah, and it just shows that you get to this sort of stage of the season, okay, everybody's played each other once, but you've got to do it again, haven't you? And you've got to raise, and if you just off your game just ever so slightly, some of these development sides that we've known over the last couple of seasons who have been whipping boys, starting to come back with great guts and determination and coming up with results. I mean, just looking at round 13 as well, you had London Scholars going on a points rampage against Oxford. So, you know, you've just got to keep your eye on the ball at all times, haven't you, in Championship 1. Otherwise, one of these newer sides will come back to bite you.
So, Oxford are struggling, aren't they? Because the week before, they lost out to Gateshead Thunder and Stanley Jeans, but the Thunder really roaring, haven't they?
Yeah, unfortunately for Oxford, they seem to be dipping out. But, I mean, having spoken to Tony Benson earlier this season, he was saying that they're doing it on a core of Oxford-based players, you know, which is a great credit to them. You're right for highlighting Stanley Jean and the job that he's doing there at Gateshead. Though, I mean, when they get it right, they certainly get it right, don't they? They score lots of points. I think it's helped with them being able to bring in players like Jamie Rooney, who packed up last season up at Whitehaven, got the itch again. And pulled on the boots, you know. But again, I just think that it's really good that some of these older players they give something back, and that is unique to rugby league. You don't see David Beckham, for example, going coaching his local under 12s, do you?
Now, in round 13 in the Championship, one that was home to the Hawks and York City Knights, who maintain their positions in the top 10.
Yeah, I think both of those, and maybe Oldham, look set for the dogfight, don't they? In the promotion position. Moment Huntsford are there just by virtue of a point. Well, that can all change as we've found out. And, you know, it's a good squad that Huntsford have got this season at that level. And I think their partnership with Leeds Rhinos really has helped them as a club.
And we are at Wigan, we're on the road for this final here. So Wigan not in the semi finals, witness Vikings are. And in the draw for the Challenge Cup semi final, it sees Widnes take on Castle Tigers at the Leeds Sports Village. And Warrington take on Leeds Rhinos at the Lantry Park Stadium. So it's fair to say we've got a guaranteed new name being at Wembley for 2014.
And hopefully two cracking ties as well. I know that there's been a lot of consternation amongst the Yorkshire-based clubs for having two semi-finals on the red side of the Pennines. Where do you stand on that, Mr Jackson?
I'll keep it at the red side of the Pennines. It's not far for me to travel.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with it as well, to be honest. You know, and it's great that, you know, I get to see a semi-final that's about 2 miles away from my front door. So, you know, Widnes have history against them, though, going to the Leeds Sports Village, because they can't really seem to win that many matches there. So they will have to turn up on the day and do a job. But that's a conversation for in a few weeks' time, though, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to have a pie now, because we are at Wigan, so it's rude not to have a pie at the home of the pie eaters.
Yeah, you and your pies, I'll let you go first, and, you know,